is the Most Blessed Podcast, recorded live at Most Blessed Sacrament in Arlington, Texas. Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, everyone.
I'm so excited today. We're going to talk about Mary.
That's the Blessed Mother, in case anyone wonders.
Yes. The Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother of Jesus. We Catholics call her the Mother of God, right?
Correct.
Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, the Virgin Mary. She has all sorts of names, does she not? Mary.
She does.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
There are probably hundreds of titles for Mary.
That's amazing. Yeah. All for one person. Mm-hmm. I read a book called Mary as Told by the Mystics, I believe is the name of it. And if I had it in front of me, I'd tell you who wrote it, but I don't. But it is a fascinating book. And mystics, which I don't even really know what a mystic is, other than they see things on a higher plane, I guess you'd say. Is that a good definition?
Well, a mystic is someone that's had a profound encounter with God that's far beyond you and me. God has literally permeated their minds and hearts in a way that is just way beyond the human experience.
They're
difficult to understand, but they have a powerful, explosive union with God. That we just don't have it. I mean, we could, through God's grace, some of the great saints eventually became mystics. And out of that, they also become aware of things more clearly. So often God talks to them. They could have visions. They could have apparitions. God usually speaks to them in a way that he's using them to speak to us, that through them, God speaks to us.
Right.
So many of the mystics have written books, and St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, people like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I read this book, Mary as Told by the Mystics, and it was fascinating and just illuminating, really, especially for a former Protestant who didn't have a lot of information about Mary. And it gave me a great appreciation for her. And I think it kind of changes your view on her, because you think of Mary as, for one thing, aging, as people do, but she really didn't, according to this book. She stayed, I don't remember the age, but she was just beautiful and without sin, even though she had, according to this book, she was sent to the temple, or I guess given to the temple, or she went and served in the temple. How about that? And the other little girls were mean to her, but she loved them anyway. And she was a great example of God's love for these girls. So anyway, that was just one of the examples. So I recommend reading on Mary. She's an amazing person. Mm-hmm. What you got to say about Mary?
Okay. I'm waiting for you.
I mean, I have other things over here.
No, let me go into.
Okay.
You know, our first real encounter with Mary, so far as scripture and tradition of the church, is the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel appears to her, and God, through the angel, invites Mary to be the mother of his son. That is our first real encounter with Mary. And the way she responded to that event defines truly who she is. First of all, she was troubled by the apparition, so she's showing her humanity very clearly, because the angel is asking her to be the mother, to conceive a child, and Mary is fully aware of how that normally takes place. So she says, "How can this be, since I have not been with a man?"
And she's very young at this time, right?
She's very young. She's around 14 or 15 years of age, which is not unusual in that culture. Girls married very young. So that was not unusual. The event was extremely unusual. But then the angel goes on to talk to her, not only what God was doing for her, but what God was doing for her cousin Elizabeth. as she was expecting a child in her old age who would be John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And that was the key, that seemed to be the thing that calmed her troubled heart. Because it was right after that, of course, the angel did say, you know, all things are possible with God. But right after that, Mary said, be it done unto me according to thy word. So we call it the fiat, meaning yes. Mary's yes. And she remained faithful to that yes the rest of her life. And that's why we say this is the defining moment for Mary as to who she is for us. A woman of extraordinary faith who did not understand what God was taking her into, but had enough faith and trust in God that he will take care of me through this. Mm-hmm. He's asking me to do this, then he will be with me through this journey. She absolutely believed that. Mm-hmm. And that is why she could say yes to what was going to happen. It's important to remember that she did not understand all that was going to unfold for her. Even when they presented Jesus in the temple and the Simeon, the prophet, announced that a sword of sorrow would pierce Mary's heart, she didn't know what that was. Of course, the sword of sorrow was the death of her son.
Right.
But there were many sorrows she would encounter. But the profound encounter was the death of her son. So she's walking in a state, she's walking in a mystery. She's living in a mystery. And so does St. Joseph, her husband, making this journey as well. You know, we don't hear much of what Mary says in Scripture. We know the first, of course, she spoke of the Annunciation. Then she spoke at the wedding feast of Cana, mm-hmm. where she directed the waiters to do what Jesus tells you, so far as that's when Jesus changed water into wine. And then we hear nothing else from Mary until Jesus is at the age of, well, going back, we remember that she did the age of 12 when Jesus was lost and they found him. Why have you done this to us, son? As a typical mother. As I recall, we don't hear anything from her again. Even at the foot of the cross, we don't hear Mary speaking. It's Jesus that gives her to us. Jesus says, woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. Mm-hmm. And it's at that point that the church says Mary became our mother, not just the mother of God, but the mother of all of us. So we really speak of Mary as mother of God, mother of the church, mother of all humanity. Mm-hmm. And she is the spiritual mother of the world. She is the great intercessor for us. And she is the most powerful instrument that God uses to bring about the ultimate salvation of the world.
And she appears to people still.
Yes. I mean, the many apparitions, there are many of them. But they all center around the same theme, call to prayer, mm-hmm. call to penance, and call to conversion.
Right.
And Mary is like the mother always coming back to the children, trying to get them straightened out and
when
praying for the children.
Listen?
You know, so Mary is forever praying for us mm-hmm. that we will not be lost in the end. And I'm sure Mary has deep concerns for those who are walking down the wrong path, that she's just intercessing for them all the time.
Right.
You know, and she's given so many titles, you know, Queen of Heaven, Mediatrix of All Graces, Queen of Peace, you know, Queen of, she has, there's a whole, we have a litany to the Blessed Mother, and it lists all of her titles. But it's important to remember about Mary. Her purpose is never to bring us to her, although she does as our mother, but her whole focus is to bring us to her son.
Right.
The whole life of Mary is to bring us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's, Mary's never calling our attention to her as she is calling our attention to her son.
Right. Just like we talked about at the rosary. When we talked about the rosary is about the life of Jesus. It's not about the life of Mary. It's
well, there are mysteries there that pertain to Mary.
Well, yes, but
it takes
you through his life.
Yeah, they all fall back on Jesus.
Right.
They all fall back on Christ.
Yes.
by the very fact that she is conceived without sin, that miracle takes place only through the redemptive act of Christ. It was out of his redemptive act that had been promised from creation when Adam and Eve sinned. It is out of that promise, God going to send us his son to die for us, that even Mary is redeemed, so to say, from the tragedy of sin, that she is not affected by it. It only happens because of Christ.
Right.
And that's so important to remember. Another thing we have to remind our brothers and sisters, especially those of who do not share in our faith, you know, we honor Mary. The church says we venerate Mary, but we do not adore Mary. We only adore Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary, we honor her as our intercessor. It's like in a family, so often the mother is the heart of the family. And so the child will so often go to the mother, seeking the mother's intercession with the father. And so it is with Mary for us, you know. We go to Mary to intercede for us before the Father,
mm-hmm.
you know, which she does all the time. And Mary is, you know, all the apparitions that have occurred, she's always revealing her awesome beauty. I mean, she's probably the most beautiful woman that ever lived. I mean, she just, it's not only her physical beauty, but it's a beauty that flows from the grace within her.
Right.
That really defines her.
That's what I was thinking, was the fact that she is without sin, and how beautiful is that just in and of itself? I mean, I can't imagine coming across someone like that and not thinking mm-hmm. that they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I think that that helps in her beauty, that mm-hmm. she is without sin. I'm not sure if it says this. I'm not sure where I saw this, but it's part of the rosary that she was assumed into heaven, the assumption. So she did not, you know, this is where you come in, because I can't remember. She died, but then she was taken bodily into heaven. She died an earthly death.
The church has always believed from the earliest times that she was assumed body and soul into heaven. It's always been a teaching of the church. But it was pronounced as a dogma of Catholic faith, meaning that we have to believe it as Catholic Christians, by Pope Pius XII in 1950, when he made it a dogma of our faith. But we believe that Mary, her life ended in this world. She entered into the sleep of death. There is even a church there in, where is the church? I can't remember exactly what little town it was in. I don't think it was in Jerusalem. It may have been Nazareth. The Church of the Dormition, where they honor Mary having gone to sleep. So just as Jesus died, Mary died. But she experienced that very briefly. And then Almighty God awakened her and brought her body and soul into heaven. So she never experienced the corruption of the grave. You know, we don't even know for sure if she was actually buried. I don't know if there's indications of that. She
right.
might have just fallen asleep in death, and before they could even bury her, God awakened her to eternal life.
I think it says something about that in the book. It's been a minute since I read it.
But she and our Lord are the only two individuals who have died and never experienced the corruption of the grave. Our Lord probably remained in the grave longer than Mary. I don't know. We don't know for sure. But anyways, she is now in heaven in full beauty and full glory. And part of our prayer is that where she is, we also will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Mary.
I know. I'm excited about that too.
You know, to have a chance to talk with her, which we will be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you just
look
into this woman who brought forth the Son of God. And it's just amazing.
There's a lot of things I'm looking forward to in heaven. That's one of them.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
But Mary, as human history goes on, and as we draw closer to the final moment of human history, whenever that is, when God comes again, if the end of the world happens, we notice that Mary is more involved. She seems to be more involved in our world now, that we hear of her more often appearing, more apparitions, more reminding of her children, to her children, get on the right path, prayer, penance, conversion, you know, while you have the chance. I've always believed, and I've heard from many leaders of the church who have said that it's the hand of Mary that has kept back the hand of God to punish us and to destroy us.
I've never heard that.
Mary is the one who says, give them another chance.
Give them another chance.
Because I'm sure Almighty God has gotten so fed up with this human creation that he has said, I'm bringing it to an end now.
Wow.
But Our Lady, it's hard for a son to say no to his mother.
And so right.
When Mary is speaking to her son, as she does in heaven, beyond a doubt, she's saying, Jesus, you know, give them another chance.
And isn't it just like a mother to want to give another chance?
Definitely. Yeah. So she's
That's just beautiful. Awesome. Yeah.
Just awesome. The church says, outside of Almighty God, Satan hates Mary more than any other individual in creation.
So get close to Mary.
Yeah. He absolutely detests her.
Wow.
Because he knows who she is and how God uses her and how, of course, she's the mother of God. Yeah. And wait, if you pick up that rosary to pray that rosary to Our Lady, he runs the other way.
Right.
He does.
I wanted to ask, she did not actually have other children, right?
No, she did not.
The brothers that are spoken of in the Bible are brothers and...
They would be like cousins.
Oh, cousins.
They were relatives. They were related by blood.
Okay.
But they would be like what we would call cousins. It was the term used to refer to relatives like cousins.
Okay.
You know,
Also, I wanted to bring up, there are what we call consecrations to Mary, and they're generally done 33 days before a Marian feast. And I was talking to Yvette earlier about these, because last year we did several consecrations to Joseph, and they generally started 33 days before. Well, there's not too terribly many Joseph feasts, but I don't think ours ended on one. But anyway, there are several Marian feasts throughout the year, and so I think she's thinking about having a consecration to Mary. So stay tuned. We will certainly alert you to when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I would very much like to do that. I did the Joseph consecration and learned all sorts of things about Joseph. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot known about Joseph, so I feel like I kind of know most everything now since there's so little. But I think we could learn about Mary for a long time and not know everything.
And tomorrow, today is February 10th, so tomorrow, February the 11th, is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes.
Oh, yeah?
And that's where Mary appeared to the young girl Bernadette Subaru in a little cave called Massabielle. Massabielle was the cave where Mary appeared to her. And, of course, the miracle of the spring of water that Mary brought forth, which is used for healing. But Our Lady of Lourdes is certainly one of the most popular shrines in the world to come to honor Our Lady.
I know if you go on YouTube and look up Marian apparitions, that's a rabbit hole you could be down and along for a long time. Information, and I guess really you need to vet that information, see where it's coming from, but there's a lot of it out there.
So. You're correct, yes.
So, this was an awesome discussion about Mary. I'm sure we could probably fill four or five of these with different things about Mary, but we'll just stop right now and maybe we'll revisit her.
Why don't we end with a Hail Mary, since that's the prayer of Mary.
Okay.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank y'all. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please send them to mbspodcast@mbs.church. Have a blessed day.